Good evening, church. What a blessed day it has been, and truly wonderful that we can come together as the family of God in this place tonight and close out another Lord's Day with a time of worship and devotion to Him, to praise Him in song and bring our petitions to Him in prayer, to enjoy the fellowship that we share as being the family of God in this place. And I'm so glad that you are here. It's been a great day. It's been a wonderful day to get to know Ryan McKenzie a little bit and to help him and encourage him as he desired to be baptized into Christ this afternoon. And so before you leave tonight, do get a chance to meet our new brother and look forward to the days ahead as we grow together in the Lord and just so glad to know him. What a blessing it is. And tonight, as we have a few moments to look at the scriptures and to be edified and encouraged by them, I want to speak to you on this subject, after the invitations. After the invitations. I trust that you got an interactive outline on your way in. That's a tool where we fill in the blanks as we study through the scriptures and the lesson together. And for our guests, stick around for a few moments after services. We'd love to get to know you. In fact, if you're a first-time guest, be sure and stop by the guest center in the foyer as we have something that we want to put in your hands, a token of our appreciation that you are here with us today. And so we are glad that you're in this place. To the congregation, as we begin, I want to commend you. I want to say thank you because you, church, are doing something that most others will not or do not do in our country. At least according to some recent research done by the Lifeway Research Survey, they did a poll of USA Protestant churchgoers, and they learned, if you notice particularly to the right of the screen under invitations, that 48% of churchgoers in our country have not invited someone to a church service in the past 6 months. About 33% said, well, maybe once or twice in the past 6 months, I've invited somebody to a worship service. And then you get down to 19%, well, I've made 3 or more invitations to a worship service in the past 6 months. Now you look at that, and I ask you, how many people have you invited in just the last month to come and worship at Livingston and to come and share with the special effort we had last Sunday of our Meet the Church Day? And I think that if they called you, their numbers would have changed. I think that you've been about a work, a very wise work, that we have been wise in inviting people to come and worship the Lord, to come and meet the Lord, that making invitations is an important part of our soul-saving efforts. And yet a lot of people who profess to believe in Jesus, they don't do that, or they don't do it very much. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, as Brother Mick read, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise, as the New King James Version renders that. But the New American Standard changes it just a little bit, flips it just a little bit. And that's what I want to highlight. That's what I want you to write down in your notes. For it says this, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. Now, maybe at the end of the day, that doesn't mean a whole lot different from one translation to the other. Probably not. But with the New American Standard, it puts the emphasis in a little different place. Puts the emphasis on wisdom, doesn't it? That he who is wise wins souls. And that's what the book of Proverbs is about. It's about wisdom. With this little different understanding, the idea is not so much that soul winners are those people that possess some peculiar wisdom, but the idea is that wisdom wins souls. And that the fruit of wisdom, the consequence of wisdom, is winning souls, persuading souls for the Lord, even capturing souls for the Lord. And doesn't that make sense when we turn in our Bible to learn where wisdom begins? Wisdom begins with God, and truly with the fear of God. In Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Real wisdom understands with recognizing there's a God, with reverencing and respecting that God, with even following, obeying the word of God, that is wisdom. That's truly wise. And wisdom comes from God. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, we read this wonderful promise. If any of you lacks wisdom, the Christians are taught, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God, who knows everything, will share wisdom with his people, will share his godly wisdom with those who are humble enough to ask. And wisdom grows as we grow. We gain knowledge by watching, by listening, by praying, by studying, and by reflecting. And what I want to do for just a couple of moments tonight is to reflect with you, on our efforts in inviting people and the Meet the Church Day that we did last Sunday. That's why I'm calling this lesson After the Invitations. What happens after those invitations? We learn. We gain wisdom. As we reflect on it and we think about, well, how did it go last week and the weeks leading up to it? And what was good about it? What maybe could we do better? We gain greater wisdom. We are wiser about winning souls. And so for a few moments, let's reflect and let's gain God's wisdom on some of our soul winning efforts here recently. Number one in the notes, we are reflecting on Meet the Church Day, reflecting on our efforts that culminated last Sunday morning, reflecting on Meet the Church Day. First reflection is this: goals are good. Goals are our friends. There is wisdom in making goals and setting goals. It goes along with the old leadership adage that what gets measured gets accomplished. Goals get things done. And we were trying to get something done, and especially targeted on October the 1st. And so we had set some big, bold group goals for our congregation. As a church, we were looking to accomplish two things, and the deadline was October 1. What were we going to do by October 1? Well, the big group goal was we were going to extend 1,000 invitations by October 1. And the big group goal was we wanted to have 500 in attendance by October 1. And so we set about making our invitations and tracking. We'll talk more about that process in a moment. But I'd just like to report to you that we track 769 invitations. We had this great board on the back, and you know, you made your invitation, you got to come in, got to color it in. And that was an exciting thing. It helped us see kind of how we were doing with that goal. When we did the count on October 1st, and then the morning worship service, we had 482 in attendance on that day. Now, I can't, you know, tell you tonight that we, you know, far surpassed our goals. But I'm going to tell you that we're right there in line with them, that we are so close. And I am so thankful there's so much to celebrate about it. Because when you look at a big goal like this, 1,000 invitations, the only way the whole group does that is if individuals, you and you and you and even Blake, determine I'm going to make an invitation. I'm going to make some invitations. I'm going to have some personal goals. And I know this, to get so this close to our group goal, there are several individuals in the room tonight that you met your personal goal or surpassed your personal goal in making invitations. And I thank you, brother. I thank you, sister. And I celebrate with you in realizing that. I want to tell you that this was so cool to have 482 in attendance last Sunday morning. That was a change of 100 people in 1 week. You go back in the numbers, we had 382 the Sunday prior. And for our day, October 1, we had 482. That is really cool. 100 people difference in a week. You felt that a little bit when you were sitting closer together, I know. But 100 more people, it's fantastic. And when we look at these goals and we say how we got so close to them, what we learned was that these were realistic targets. These were the right goals. We had set the right numbers. We just were a little bit wrong on the time. We got the right numbers. We just didn't get it on October 1. We probably needed one more week at the rate we were going. And then I remembered something. Hurricane Irma. We kind of lost a week there on Hurricane Irma, didn't we? We were right there where we need to be to meet these goals. And so the numbers are right. The time was just a little off. So when we do this again, we're going to start just a little bit sooner. Tonight we need to thank God. Tonight I want to thank each of you and thank one another for your effort in making the invitations, supporting the effort with your attendance. We'll break that down more in just a moment. But it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So many met personal goals. We got so close with our group goal. I am so grateful. I'll tell you this, that last week, October 1st, we generated some guests. In fact, our first-time guests, we had 40-plus first-time guests at Livingston Church. I put the little plus there. Why did I put the plus there? Because there were more guests than 40. But there were 40 that filled out a connection card. There were 40 that let us know they were here. And then we had some other guests that they were not first timers, but we had 40 plus first time guests. That's 40 plus precious souls who heard the gospel, who were exposed to the gospel. It was because you invited them. It was because you brought them, because you supported it. And that is a good thing. Not only there were 40 there on that day, but there were some other people who came up and said, Andrew, here's what I heard. I cannot come on that date, but I will come on a different date. And so actually, we don't know yet all the people that are going to come by, hear the gospel, meet the church here because of the efforts placed for that day. Some had some guests coming today. They said, well, I can't come on the first, but I'll come the next week. And I'll tell you this, my little story, my little daughter Olivia, I'm so proud of her. Her and Julie, they invited the Girl Scouts and the troop. And one of the Girl Scouts and her mom, they actually did not say they were coming. But they came today. They didn't come last night, but they came today. And what a joy it was and a happy surprise that they came. Okay? And so you may have an experience like that as well. In fact, they even came in time for a Bible class. I'm going to tell you why this is so good, because it opened doors for future discussion. There was one sister who was told by several people that she invited, well, I can't be there on that date, but please invite me again. Please don't forget about me. Please tell me again. What a wonderful open door that one invitation can turn into another and an opportunity. Brother Edwin was talking to me on the phone and he said, hey, you might want to share this. Three of the people that he invited all said they couldn't be there on that day, but they all wanted to know more about it. Wanted to know more about the Bible and know more about the church. And he's planning on turning all three of those invitations into three personal Bible studies. And he and Miss Marie are going to meet with some of these folks. That's great. And I want you to know this. You know, we were laughing a little bit about text this to that number and text that to the other number. You know, one of those first time guests texted a question to that number. And that has coming into a personal Bible study to meet with her and study her question. That's a really cool thing. That's a really cool thing. And so we're going to have some Bible studies coming out of this. Absolutely. I want to tell you something else was just great as we reflect on Meet the Church Day. And that is how well the congregation worked together. I mean, incredibly well. I don't know if you thought about it last Sunday as you were looking around, or maybe not. But if you considered all of the planning and all of the tasks that went into this one day, and I'm not going to bore you to death with all the details because I know how people are. Don't tell me about the labor and the delivery. I just want to see the baby. I get it. I'm with you. Okay. So we're not going to go through all of it. But you may just read up there some of the things that were going on with the planning and the tasks and think about where you fit in. The other thing that I'm not going to do is name a list of names, because I'm probably going to leave somebody out and I feel terrible about that. But you know where you were and you know what you did. And my point is, look how this church came together in numerous, numerous ways to bring together this day. And then you think of the day, if you can remember last Sunday morning, which I'm sure you can, how well people did. We got here early, and you got here early, and what'd you do? You went and parked in the back, and you parked in the back 40. Thank you. And then what'd you do? You came in here, and you came and you sat down front. Nobody wants to sit down front, but you all came and sat down front. And we sat together, and we sat close, and we worshiped, and we sang out. And so what do? We made it so easy for all those 40-plus guests to find a place to park, and be able to sit, and be comfortable, and come and worship. You all did that. You did wonderful, wonderful with that. And I just thank God for your attitude, for your willingness to sing out, and to be friendly to all these new faces. We worked together incredibly well. So all that to say, we are definitely going to do this again. The elders are just cloud nine about this Meet the Church Day. We haven't set the date for it, but you're going to get some more notice. And now that we know what's involved, what to expect, what it takes to do it right, this was a great day. And I thank God for this day. And I thank God for all of you, because we did it together. It's a special day. And we haven't yet seen all that God's going to bring about with the seed that was planted on that day. On that day. Number two, invitations resonate. They resonate. I want to say that is an important thing to remember, because there's probably one or more of you here that had a big challenge, even in talking about this and going through all this. And the challenge is simply this: Man, I was trying hard. I was beating the bushes. I invited 10 people and not a one of them came. I'm terrible. I'm no good at this. I did it all wrong. This is not for me. You know, and you're feeling even a little bit discouraged. You don't need to feel discouraged. Not at all. Invitations resonate. No invitation is a failure if you made the invitation. You have to kind of remember how this works when we're inviting people, when we're handing out the cards and we're making a recommendation. Now, there are some different ones who have studied this, and, it's maybe not an exact science, but there are people who pay attention to the processes and the way things work with people coming into, the church. And it kind of works like this, that basically, for every invitations that are extended by a group, it's going to produce about 10 visitors to the worship service, okay? That of the 10 visitors who will come, 6 to 7 of those are only going to come once. And I already need to give you a little caveat about this. Just because you get 10 visitors doesn't mean 10 different people. It might mean, one person comes, but he's got a family of 5. Okay, something like that. So it's not even 10 different people necessarily, but generally this is how this works. Of the 10 visitors, 6 to 7 are going to come only once. Likely they will not return, which means what? You're left with about 3 or 4 people who will come multiple times. And they're looking it over and they're studying and they're thinking about the word and the doctrine and the preaching and do they like the people. And there's all sorts of things that go into that. And then one's going to say, I believe this. I want to be a part of this. I'm baptized for the remission of my sins. One person becomes a Christian. Now look, we're looking for that one. We're looking for that one. And we don't know who that one's going to be. And so we talk to a lot of people. We talk to a lot of different people. And what this effort did that culminated last week in Meet the Church Day is that it pushed us, it stretched us to make some invitations. To make an invitation and finally talk to that person we've been meaning to talk to. To make the invitation and talk to that person and I've been putting off talking to them. Or to reconnect with someone that we hadn't seen in a while. Or speak to an entirely new person. And all of that resonates. The invitation is made. The connection is made at least once. And we don't know when someone will choose to respond. There's very encouraging news to take about making invitations. They resonate. You did the right thing. You have blessed someone with an opportunity if you told them about it. And we don't know all, who will see that invitation card if you left it somewhere. Or when someone chooses to pick up that card at a later date or that letter that you wrote them. And that's when they're looking. But I'll tell you, when they are seeking God, they will remember you. They will remember that you were the person that cared enough to mention it and to invite them. Again, I believe different people will be coming in over the next few weeks because of the effort for a day. And we're going to be hearing more and more stories about things that happened good for the glory of God because of work put in for this day. The invitations, they resonate. So then finally tonight, number 3, what lessons are gained from inviting? Say, well, the wise win souls. Well, what wisdom might we gain from this? And I believe that you are wiser in winning souls for having participated in this. That there are lessons learned and experiences gained for having participated in this. And you might consider that question for yourself. It's a great question. Well, what did I learn after I made an invitation? What did I learn after that day came and went? What did I learn? And I'd love to hear what your thoughts are about that, but I'm going to preach, and so I'm going to give you mine. I think there were five lessons that we got from making invitations and participating in this Meet the Church Day. The first one is this. I think that your eyes, my eyes, got a little bit wiser, maybe even wider. Our sight changed. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, we get a little insight in the New Testament of how our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ looked at people and how he saw people. We need his eyes. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. And so he began to teach them many things, many things. When we start to have an eye for making an invitation and talking to someone about spiritual things, we begin to see people need Jesus. It's not that he's nice. It's not that he's on a buffet of a lot of swell things. No, people need Jesus. And it's easy to forget about that at times. It's easy to forget how he loves them. It's easy to forget how he wants them. It's easy to forget how he died for them. And we are privileged as Christians, as the people of God, to make an introduction, to make a connection between a person who needs Jesus and one that Jesus loves. And that connection is made in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our eyes can get so dull. But when we got a goal and a challenge to make an invitation, our eyes get a little bit wiser, get a little bit wider. And we see people who need Jesus. We see it. Think a second lesson. Our prayers get wiser and that they get more specific. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, there is an incredible specificity about the prayer that the Apostle Paul was seeking, teaching us to pray, but also seeking from God's people. Specific prayer in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth and boldly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Didn't your prayers get very specific about this? You woke up in the morning, today's the day, I'm going to do this today. And then you're really praying. We're praying about today. And what are we praying for? The courage to speak. Oh, I don't want to chicken out about this today. What were we praying for today? We were praying to have the right words, how to speak, what to say. We were praying for the person that we were talking to, praying that they would accept this invitation, praying that they would be able to come and to be there for this day of worship. We were praying through the 30 days of prayer list. Did anybody else get a text and an email every day? For 30 days? And then when you thought it was over, like one more day? Wasn't that helpful? It's a couple of days I had forgotten. So I'm glad I got that. And very specific prayer requests. Very specific about this event. And I believe God is honoring those prayers. Absolutely do. And so we learned about prayer. Third lesson, our courage increased. And what you learned about something, you can talk to people. You can even talk to different people. And this world is full of all sorts of people. Our neighborhoods are full of all sorts of people and all sorts of backgrounds. And it's always been so. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10, we get a little snapshot as to some of the people that were in this church at Corinth and what their story was before the gospel. Before Jesus Christ. And here's what that story looked like. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Do you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. That was that story before Jesus and before the gospel. Such were some of you. Now think about that. Paul and others talked to all these different Corinthians about the gospel. This is what life looks like before Jesus and without Jesus. But people who have Jesus while pursuing righteousness cannot become self-righteous. And so insulated and inward focused that we act like we never had a past, act like we never did anything wrong, and act like we're not going to talk to anybody who's outside of Jesus Christ. What am I saying? I mean someone talked to practicing idolaters in Corinth. What's that mean? It means they already had a religion and they practiced a religion. They were probably happy with the religion, but somebody talked to them about the gospel regardless. I mean, someone talked to sexually permissive and promiscuous people. Fornicators, adulterers, homosexuals. Here are people who had relationships. One relationship or maybe many relationships that brought them some level of pleasure. And yet those things were sinful and they were wrong. Sure, they were sinful and wrong. But someone spoke to them about the gospel regardless. You need the gospel. Do you know Jesus? We will look at these verses and we learn that someone talked to thieves and extortionists and drunkards. Here are people who wronged people. Here are people probably got themselves in trouble with the law. Here are people that would have a reputation about town. And yet someone talked to them about the gospel. That's all wrapped up there in such were some of you. That's where you were before Christ, without Christ. They taught them the gospel. Look at verse 11. But you were washed. But you were sanctified, I mean set apart, but you were justified, pronounced right, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Well, praise God. But that teaching, that sharing of the gospel, it could have begun with something as simple as, come and see. Come and see. We learn that we can talk to all sorts of people, and we need to. Number four, our fellowship is stronger. We're a part of a great team here at Livingston Congregation. I think about how a great team works together, and what is the apostles' inspired analogy in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's all the members of the body, all the parts of a body, human anatomy, and we need to have all that to be healthy and growing and functioning properly. And what does he teach us in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12? For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. Verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care of one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You just think on that. Think on all the help, all the effort the brethren gave in supporting this Meet the Church Day and these invitations. How the members did park all the way in the back and were sitting together up front and, you know, we're singing out to the Lord, and there was just a buzz of friendliness, talking to people and meeting people that were here in the room. And I say all that to say, if you invited someone and they came, you know how great that was. Oh, I'm so glad you came today. Oh, I'm so glad you're having this experience. Because, you know, sometimes you wonder a little bit. How's the church going to respond to all these new faces? Well, I'll tell you how Livingston responds. We've got a heart for people. We've got a heart for the lost. I believe we want to share the gospel. I believe we want to make disciples. I believe we want the church to grow and in this place. And I have talked to Christians in different places and travels with gospel meetings who would confide in me. They didn't have that confidence about their local church. They say, well, I don't want to bring somebody with me, because what if the preacher or brother so-and-so popped off and said something just needlessly offensive, and I'm real nervous about that. And I'd hate to bring somebody with me. I mean, look around, people are not friendly here. I don't think anybody would talk to them. Well, I don't want to bring somebody with me. I mean, the singing here, I'm sure there's joy in their heart, but there's none on their face. You don't have to feel that way at all about Livingston Congregation. We all know that. We're in this together. And we're about serving the Lord, and we are about making disciples. This is a great, great team. We're all on the same page about this. It's incredible. Of course I want to invite them to this church. It's a wonderful church. Of course I want them to meet you. You're wonderful people. Of course I want them to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior and King of everything. And this church is about getting that message out. The people here are so well equipped, you know. I just was reminded of this even this morning, that, I don't want to embarrass my new brother Ryan, but so when service was over, my new brother Ryan, he had a couple of questions about things. He didn't make a beeline to me. He got back there, but he didn't come make a beeline to me. You know who he was talking to? I was talking to Brad, talking to Butch, talking to some people right there close by in the pew. You're telling me that somebody first time into the church has questions about the sermon and they can talk to somebody in the pew about it? And they're going to get good Bible answers and encouraging words about that? Yeah, amen. Somebody ought to amen that. This is a special congregation. You say, oh, but we are all just unworthy servants. Yes, we're unworthy servants. But we're about serving. Thank God for you. It's a great church. And you can bring people here. They're going to find the Lord here. As we follow his word together. We don't have the worries or the problems in this congregation people have in some other places. It's a wonderful, wonderful, God-blessed congregation. I'm learning that, and our fellowship is stronger as we're working together in this. And finally, number five, our passion grows with each act of faithfulness. And that's so true. Somebody gets baptized, your passion grows. You get through that invitation to somebody, and even if you felt like you stumbled through it, but you got through it, and your passion grows. And somebody comes and even surprises you a week or two later, and your passion grows. Your passion grows with each act of faithfulness. You invited someone, perhaps several, and when you did, you gave them the opportunity to hear the gospel. You were the best friend in the world to that person because you gave them the chance to know what matters to their souls. God bless you, brethren. I learned a lot after the invitations. And I hope you're learning some things as well. We're going to be wiser about winning souls because of how we worked together this past month. If you want to put your notes away, we're going to have some more song worship now. Brother Trevor's going to come forward and lead us in a song. The Lord's invitation, of course, is always open for those that would know a new life in Jesus, the forgiveness of their sins, confidence about heaven. The Lord implores all who are weary and heavy laden to come to him. He gives rest. And if there is one here tonight who is ready to become a Christian, to have their sins washed away in a new beginning, then you do what they did in the Bible. Repent, turn from sin in your life, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, be baptized, be immersed in water to have your sins washed away, serve him, live for him, follow him, be a part of this church. That's what we're about. We'd love to help you with that. If I could leave you with one admonition, please, 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 please do not wait another year for another Meet the Church Day to invite someone. We've done so great. This doesn't need to be an annual invitation. It needs to be a habit that we're building. We learn these things. We're better at these things. We do these things. And what we're seeing just little bits and little tastes right now is how God is blessing that. And so I want to encourage you to make an invitation again soon. Well, if we can help you to baptize you into Christ or pray for you about any other spiritual need, we invite you to come forward and make it known now. Together we stand and sing. Won't you come?